It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It seems a month doesn't go by where the city isn't placed on a list ranking everything from livability to courteous drivers. In May, Smart Growth America published a study of the most walkable cities in America. Pittsburgh ranks 9th in this report. Here to tell us more about it is Patrick Lynch, Research and Development Manager for the George Washington University Center for Real Estate and Urban Analysis. Patrick Lynch, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about the Foot Traffic Ahead report. Who is it for?
It's for a general audience, and I think it's also for particularly for developers. I think what we wanted to show is that the walkable metros and walkable urban places in particular are doing well, and not just because people like to walk in them, but because they generate stronger economic returns. And in the metros that have them, they appear to be doing better on a per capita GDP basis and in terms of the number of educated people that they have in the metro. So we think it's of interest to developers. We think it's of interest to economic development professionals and, of course, to the general public as well.
And how often is it published?
This is the first time that we have published this report. We have done kind of an in-depth analysis of Washington, D.C. and Atlanta. And this was more of a 35,000-foot, higher-level look at the top 30 largest metros in the country.
And so as you try to determine which are the most walkable cities for pedestrians in the nation, what factors do you look at to determine where a city ranks in this?
What we were really trying to do was figure out which cities are the most walkable, and in terms of how much office and retail space is located in walkable places. And we determined that by looking at WalkScore, an online service that has developed an algorithm to basically assess the walkability of a place. They do take into account certain urban design features like intersection density, but they also take into account the quantity of destinations that you can reach by walking. And destinations, by destinations, I mean retail, restaurants, your office, things like that. And basically, for any place to be considered walkable for this purpose, it had to have a walk score of at least 70.5. The scale is 0 to 100. And beyond that, we were trying to identify places that were regionally significant concentrations of office and retail space. So, identifying these walkable urban places that became the basis for the study, we only considered places that had at least 1.4 million square feet of office or 340,000 square feet of retail.
And so how did you arrive at the ranking for Pittsburgh as 9th? What were the factors that were taken into consideration? What was the breakdown with regard to Pittsburgh?
Sure. The basic rank is based on the percentage of the total region's office and retail space that is located in the walkable urban places that we defined, as I said, based on walk score. And we found in Pittsburgh that about 21% of the total metro area's office and retail space is located in a walkable urban place. And that put it just behind Atlanta, which was also at 21%, but just slightly higher. But below a place like Washington, D.C., which is at the top of the list, it had about 43%. But Pittsburgh is still well above the ones at the bottom of the list, which were Tampa, Phoenix, and Orlando, where they only had about 5 to 6% of their office and retail space in walkable urban places.
Are there things that Pittsburgh could do to move up on the list?
Well, it's interesting. We looked at two sets of rankings. One was kind of the existing ranking, and that's one I described, and that's where Pittsburgh ranked relatively highly at number 9. But we also took a look at the future ranking. In other words, what do the current trends say about where a city might head in the future? And in that one, Pittsburgh actually ranked a bit lower, and that was mainly due to the fact that the premiums for office rents in walkable places in Pittsburgh were a bit less than what we found in some other cities. And one other thing is that most, in fact, virtually all of Pittsburgh's walkable urban places are located in the center city. And by that, I mean the city of Pittsburgh itself. What we found in other places, particularly in D.C., is that when you can start to urbanize the suburbs, when you can start to create walkable urban places in the suburbs, that's what really helps expand in areas. That's essentially what would help a city increase in this ranking, because we think that people like the walkable urban places to not just be downtown, but also to be in your suburbs, much closer to your house, and maybe not have all the density that goes on in the downtown area.
Patrick Lynch is the Research and Development Manager for the George Washington University Center for Real Estate and Urban Analysis. Patrick Lynch, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much.
And Pittsburgh may be one of the most walkable cities in America, but you better watch where you are walking. Between 2006 and 2013, Pittsburgh saw nearly 2,100 pedestrian-involved collisions resulting in injuries, damage, or death. That according to data collected by the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. I'm joined now by Post-Gazette reporters Andrew McGill and Madeline Conway, who've put together a data-driven look at pedestrian safety in the city. And they join us now in Studio A. Andrew McGill, Madeline Conway, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
And you can join this conversation at 412-246-2002. 412-246-2002. What are the most dangerous intersections for pedestrians or most dangerous areas in the city for people walking about in Pittsburgh? Our email address, ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. And we'd like to hear your suggestions on how to make the city safer for pedestrians. And maybe you could throw in a critique of drivers in Pittsburgh and whether they are watching out for pedestrians as well as they can. 412-246-2002, the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. Okay, Andrew, we just heard how walkable the city is, but it apparently isn't the safest place for pedestrians. What is going on? Why is it so dangerous for people walking in Pittsburgh?
Well, first off, you're right. It is dangerous. We are in a city. There are cars going by. There are pedestrians everywhere. It's the nature that we're going to have some accidents. When I looked at the data, I was just surprised how widespread it was. Hundreds of intersections in Pittsburgh have seen at least one pedestrian accident, a pedestrian-involved accident. And to me, that was surprising. I figured we'd see concentrations. It was fairly well spread out. What we've kind of heard from the folks we talked to is that it's a mixture of our topology here. We have hills and rivers and valleys and all sorts of things that make planning straight streets tough. And we also have kind of a money problem. Here we have to contend with a state budget and a city budget that's both maintaining and upgrading our street infrastructure. And the latest and greatest improvements that help pedestrians are sometimes a little expensive and tough to get on there in a timely fashion.
And one of the more dangerous intersections is not far from where our studios are. We're on the south side, and if you go east of here to 18th and Carson, that's one of the bad ones, isn't it, Madeline?
Right. That, according to our data, had the most crashes that involved
the most crashes
between 2006 and 2013.
Very scary because I'm this makes me kind of get the shivers because I, as many other people do, I drive through that intersection every day. And is part of the problem jaywalking? Are people we don't want to let the drivers off the hook, and we'll get to some of the habits Pittsburgh drivers have. But are the pedestrians? Does there seem to be a knack for jaywalking in Pittsburgh, or simply not paying attention to what the traffic lights are telling you to do?
Well, certainly city officials point to that as one issue. Is pedestrian is also not necessarily following, traffic laws as well as cars. But I think about half the time, or I think it's 40%. Pedestrians think pick up the blame. Is that right, Andrew?
Yeah, that surprised me as well because, you see the comments online and it's always blaming pedestrians, jaywalking, running red lights and so on. According to the data we had, it was about 40% of the time it's the pedestrians is the primary factor. PennDOT doesn't like to say fault, primary factor. And the balance of it, over 50% is the car's fault. The remainder is environmental or vehicle, malfunction.
So, all right. So over 50% it's the fault of the driver?
That the driver is the primary factor in the accident. Correct.
Okay. So it's really – so the pedestrians have to take some of the blame, but it's not mostly their PennDOT, mostly their fault.
That's what the data showed. I think the leading cause overall, if you just look at all the kind of causes of pedestrian accidents without looking at whose fault it was, it was the pedestrians walking across the street. They have this kind of generic term. Pedestrian was walking, playing, biking. It's a blanket term for their crossing and their hit inappropriately. But all the rest of the reasons right after that are all car factors. And there are some, allusions to the Pittsburgh left,
I was going to ask about that because, if you're in a city where many of the drivers make up their own rules and this Pittsburgh left thing, I think it still says in the driver's manual, that test you take that you are supposed to yield for the oncoming traffic, cars or pedestrians, but more often than not, you see the Pittsburgh driver bang that left.
Well, you and I talked about this a few years ago in regards to bicycles,
right.
And that the Pittsburgh left was responsible for a whole bunch of accidents there. And it's the same for pedestrians. Making improper turns, I don't have the percentage right in front of me, was a substantial portion of the causes for these crashes. And, when we talk to enforcement officials about this, they kind of have to say, what can you do at a certain point? Behavior is the responsibility of the pedestrian and the driver.
412-246-2002 to join our conversation with Post-Gazette reporters Andrew McGill and Madeline Conway talking about a data-driven look at pedestrian safety in the city of Pittsburgh. Let's go to our first caller, Don, who is downtown. Don, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hello, Don. As Jack Benny used to say, oh, Don, are you there? All right. Apparently, we don't have Don, so we will go on to Brian in Friendship Park. Brian, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. And apparently, Brian is not there either. So hang in there, fellas. We will get to you. But evidently, right now, we're having a problem putting our callers on the air. So Don and Brian, hang in there. In the meantime, part of the problem here in Pittsburgh might be exacerbated by the fact that we are adding to our infrastructure problems. I'm guessing, seeing more traffic because the population is growing. How much does that add to the problem, Madeline?
Well, certainly advocates and city officials point to topography as kind of a challenge that Andrew pointed to earlier that really does kind of magnify the issue you have of a growing population coming downtown. So you have more cars, more pedestrians. Naturally, you're going to see more crashes. But on top of that, there's just less space for them to go. And so it's certainly, an issue that kind of adds to kind of geographical issues that we already have here.
And so the years that we had of the population declining, we may not have taken this into consideration, but now all of a sudden people are finding reasons to move here and it becomes a concern.
I almost had to blink a little when one of the folks we talked to brought that up, because the narrative in Pittsburgh for so long has been that we are losing people, particularly young people. And only very recently have we seen that trend kind of reverse course. So we actually, I guess, are in the enviable position to some degree and in the unenviable position in other ways of having to account for more people coming into our city. And when we're all squeezed in between three rivers and some hills in there as well, it certainly makes it tougher.
So the equation is more people into less space equals more danger.
Well, that's the fear.
That's the fear anyway. And certainly the statistics that you have come up with here bear that out. We'll talk more about the data-driven look at pedestrian safety in the city of Pittsburgh, put together by Andrew McGill and Madeline Conway. And we'll take your calls at 412-246-2002. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about a data-driven look at pedestrian safety in the city, put together by Post-Gazette reporters Andrew McGill and Madeline Conway. And we're taking your comments about the safety for pedestrians in the city of Pittsburgh. It's been proven that this is not the safest city for pedestrians, and there are certain intersections and areas of the city that are particularly dangerous. We'd like to get your feedback on which areas you think are the worst for pedestrians and what can be done to improve them. 412-246-2002, the number to call. 412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Email is essPGH@wesa.fm. On Twitter at essPGH, hashtag EPLive. Let's try again to go to the phones and to Don downtown. Don, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for trying again.
Yes.
I'm standing on the street on 10th Street between Penn and Liberty at one of our worst spots, where pedestrians are literally forced into the road by businesses and cafes who put their chairs and tables on the sidewalk, and by a hotel in front of me who uses the sidewalk, as a taxi queue. Literally, pedestrians are sharing the sidewalk with moving vehicles. I've reported this to the police, every city official and handicap advocate that I can find, with little to no response and no sympathy for my concerns.
Well, it's a great point that you bring up, and I appreciate the fact that you are giving us a report from on the very spot about which you're talking, and hopefully, Don, not putting yourself in harm's way. Hopefully you've moved one of those chairs out of the way and you're actually up on the sidewalk.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I even have the hotel management's written email stating that they've asked the taxis to line up on a particular side of the sidewalk, which seems absolutely ridiculous to me if I were living in any other city.
Well, Andrew, does this sound familiar?
Well, you know, it was funny. When I was looking into the story, I happened across this this graphic. It was kind of a cartoon showing how the amount of space devoted to pedestrians on streets has declined precipitously over the past 100 years. You know, we had horses and buggies back in, you know, the 1800s, and now we're sharing space with cars and buses, and in some places light rail, and in some places bicycles. A constant refrain we heard from advocates is that there is not enough space nor attention devoted to pedestrians on our streets.
And how much, Madeline, does the problem of – and it wasn't something that had occurred to, I think, any of us really with regard to what businesses are doing to get customers in, which particularly at this time of year when the weather's nice, they want to put tables and chairs out on the sidewalk. But how much of a problem can this be for someone who's trying to find room to walk and may end up having to veer into the street to get out of the way of somebody's business? I've stumped Madeline.
Well, you know, I have an opinion on this. I think that, you know, a kind of a corollary is work zones, right? You know, we all know downtown that, you know, there's constant work on the sidewalks, on the streets.
So there's a barricade on the sidewalk.
There's a barricade
or cones that you have to walk around, and there's no other way to walk around them but to go into the street, correct?
Correct. And oftentimes, you know, I find myself, you know, kind of hugging the side of the chain link fence here, doing a kind of a shimmy to avoid oncoming traffic. Now, so I was expecting when I looked at these figures to see a high percentage of accidents around construction areas, and it was actually the opposite. You know, very few pedestrian-related collisions happen in work zones. Now, granted, I think that when you have a business putting out chairs and tables on the sidewalk, it presents a hazard. But certainly having the sidewalk blocked off for a work zone would be even more. And somehow they must have signage or something that's keeping people safe in that regard.
412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Cole in Pittsburgh. Cole, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
Hi.
So I recently moved to Pittsburgh, and I'm curious about if other cities on this ranking list have similar issues with the barrier between, I guess, the definition of pedestrian areas and car areas, because what I've noticed here is there's a lot of bleed over both directions. You have cars parking in sidewalks, and as you said, you also have pedestrians walking in the street because there's tons of obstacles in the way. Do other cities have that problem as well?
Well, let me ask you this before I let Andrew answer your question. Where did you live before, Cole, before you moved to Pittsburgh?
I was living in Minneapolis, so there was no lack of space there. It's very, very wide streets.
So now you come to Pittsburgh and you feel a little bit hemmed in?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, I can take the small amount of space. Is the real problem is that there's no line between where I'm safe walking and where cars can park or back into or install themselves for days on end, like right in the middle of a pedestrian area.
Okay, well, Andrew, let me jump in. Andrew McGill, what about Cole's question about the line between pedestrian and street areas on roads?
No, it's a great question. I mean, Cole, I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and you know, there's a well-known tradition in Philadelphia, as there is here in some places, of parking on the sidewalk. You know, you find cars that are, you know, essentially parallel parked in the middle of where I'm supposed to be walking, and you know, that's part of what comes along with a city that was, you know, in Philadelphia's case, designed, you know, back in colonial days, and Pittsburgh's case a little bit later, with narrow streets that aren't meant for cars to be, you know, taking up all the space. You know, I think that anywhere you have a city that has a streetscape like ours, you're going to see that kind of blurred line. And really, it's up to the folks in Public Works and in PennDOT and our municipal thinkers to kind of re-engineer our old streets and re-engineer how we think about them.
Let's go to David in Braddock. David, welcome.
Hi, this is Dave Cordova. The question I have is, in Braddock Hills, we have no sidewalks, and there is no place to, like me, I like to ride a bike, but I got to go out about 6 miles to go find a bike trail somewhere. Because I'm from California, and I like to ride a bike, but I got to leave the Braddock Hill area in order to find a safe road or a safe place. And I see people in here with wheelchairs almost get killed in Braddock Hills or Forest Hills or whatever, because there is no sidewalks. And I mentioned it to the people who lived there for 50 years, and they say, I'm surprised nobody has been killed all the time, every day, because they're walking so close to the shrubs, and this is not the safest place in our area around here in Braddock where you can walk. It's dangerous. I'm surprised all over this area there's no sidewalks, there's no bike routes. It's dangerous. I mean, well, I don't know who's taking the notes, but they didn't call me, or else I would have told them the facts. Someone. Help me out, man.
Well, David, you bring up a very good point, and I certainly sympathize with your concerns about what's happening out east. David describing Braddock and Forest Hills. So there's the problem of too little room on sidewalks, and then there's David's problem about that he's pointing out about there being no sidewalks in certain places.
Well, you know, and I wish I could tell David right now, the accident rate for his neck of the woods, we did constrain our analysis just to the city of Pittsburgh, although, you know, this data is available across the state. But you know, he's completely correct. If you don't have a sidewalk, you're by definition walking in the street. And, you know, common convention right now in Pittsburgh and beyond is that the street's meant for cars, not for people.
Let's take one last call from Doug in Plum. Doug, we're down to just a few seconds here. Go ahead. Yes, we're short on time, but if you could make your point quickly, please.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes.
Hi, I travel around the country, and a couple quick things. The main reason I called, I don't think this is the only area I've ever been to in my life where people do not come to a complete stop. I do not recall being at a four-way stop where anyone has come to a complete stop. Also, people on the sidewalks in this area, suburbs a little bit, many of them do not walk facing the traffic, and they're not paying attention, and the sidewalks here are thinner, you know, compared to everywhere else in the country. And even downtown, I've been down there a little bit, and a lot of cars in between, and they're supposed to keep 30 feet between the line, so to speak, and the stop sign, and police in most places go ahead and ticket so people don't do that. But
these are all great points, and we're down to just about a minute here. So Andrew or Madeline, what about people not coming to a complete stop? Do we have data on that? And would red light cameras maybe improve that? Because Doug's observation is spot on. People generally tend to roll through the stop signs.
Well, red light cameras are a very potent reminder that you should stop at red lights. I haven't seen recent literature on how well they've done that in my hometown of Philadelphia or elsewhere, but they certainly would do something. But, you know, I seem to recall my mom always used to call those things the California stop,
right,
when you roll through the intersection. So I think it's more widespread than we think.
Post-Gazette reporters Andrew McGill and Madeline Conway talking about their data-driven look at pedestrian safety in the city. Thanks so much to both of you for being here on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, a conversation with Patrick Gallagher, the University of Pittsburgh's new chancellor. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.